Thank you, Mr. Petrie, and happy Sabbath, brethren. And welcome to those on the webcast with us. So I'll start with a question. Does God command the impossible? How often have you felt frozen and incapable of figuring out what your next move should be? Have you ever wondered if God asks too much of you? Joshua, the son of Nun, experienced what we could all probably describe as a stressful situation. Moses, God's servant who would speak to God face to face, had died. The one who helped the people out of Egypt and who led them in the desert. The one who interceded for the people. Joshua had some huge shoes to fill. As we see that Moses' leadership is remembered throughout time up to today. I mean, Moses is still greatly respected by Jews and Christians. But then he died, and a replacement was needed. But even if Joshua wasn't concerned about the kind of man he had to follow in leadership, he was probably concerned about how weighty leading the people was going to be. Israel was God's special people. But on top of that, they were also some of the most difficult and degenerate people. How do you lead a group like that? I'll ask again, does God command the impossible? One of the more encouraging passages of the Bible is found in the transition period from Moses to Joshua. People have plaques with quotes of this section of scripture because it's often encouraging and inspiring words to hold on to. The scripture reads, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." It's Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. There's a lot to consider and unpack in that one scripture. And in this Bible study, I want to consider what it means to be strong and of good courage. How can we cultivate courage in our life today and cast aside fear? Let's start by getting more context of that section of scripture. So if you turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So as we've said, Moses has died, and now Joshua is given that weighty task of leading God's people into the promised land. Yet God emphasizes that he has promised this land to the people. Wherever they walk, God has given to them, as verse 3 says. And Joshua is reminded by God that he will support him and be with him, just as he was with Moses. And Joshua was very close to Moses during those events of the prior 40 years and wandering in the wilderness. Joshua has seen God be with Moses. So what we're going to do is unpack verse 9, and we're going to look at it phrase by phrase and see what we can pull from it. So, have I not commanded you? God is emphasizing again his exhortation to Joshua to be strong. We just read in verse 6 and verse 7 where God stated to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. But there's an even greater context. If we step back and look, we can get a fuller picture. We see this in Deuteronomy chapter 31, if you'll turn over there. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 1, we have, then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. So we have all Israel is gathered together. And even further in this context, we have Deuteronomy 28, which is the blessings and cursings of obedience to God's way emphasized. Chapter 29, we have the covenant being renewed with Israel. And then the famous life and death is before the people, choose life is in chapter 30. And then we get to 31. In verse 2, we're going to read verse 2 to verse 6. And Moses said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites and their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So all Israel was present for these words from Moses, which included the statement that God would cross over the Jordan before the people. Joshua was among these people who heard these words spoken, words of encouragement as these Israelites were recommitting themselves to God. But it gets even more specific for Joshua in the very next verses. Verse 7, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel. So now Joshua is called out. This is specific to him. Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Again, God was going to go before Joshua, but also God was never going to leave him or forsake him. Now, if we exclude Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, Joshua was told to be strong and of good courage 4 additional times. But that is not all. When Joshua was inaugurated as successor in Deuteronomy 31, verse 23, it's stated again. Then he, and I have he as in capital, referring to God, he inaugurated Joshua the son of Nun and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Joshua is once again identified as that leader to guide this people into the land, the fulfillment of God's promise to them. God would be with Joshua, but ultimately it was God that was going to be fulfilling his own promises. An indirect reference to being strong and of good courage is found at the beginning of Deuteronomy. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, we have the relaying of the story of how the Israelites would not be going into the land. And in verse 38, we have Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. This encouragement that Moses was going to give to him is prior to the 40-year wandering in the wilderness. God judged the people for their lack of trust that he would bring them into the land that he promised. But Caleb and Joshua, those spies who had brought back a good report, would be allowed into the land. God knew that Joshua would be the individual to cause the people to enter into the land. God would use him for that purpose. And at this point in Deuteronomy, God tells Moses to encourage Joshua. Similar passage is found in Deuteronomy 3, verse 28, where it appears Moses is restating the command he received from God to encourage Joshua. Deuteronomy 3, 28. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land, which you will see. It is not unimportant that God preserved again another instance where he wanted Moses to give encouragement to the one that would be replacing him. Finally, going back to Joshua chapter 1, we have one more reference. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. So they answered Joshua, and this is the officers of the people. They answered Joshua, saying, "All that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." The officers seem to restate this mantra almost, this thing that God has said to Joshua multiple times. God certainly emphasized to Joshua many times the need to be strengthened and to be courageous. When he says the phrase, "Have I not commanded you?" other translations have, "I repeat, have I not given you your orders?" or "I hereby command you." God has stated, he's restated, and he wanted to draw Joshua's attention back to what he had told him before. Now that next phrase, "be strong and of good courage." A definition of strong, and this is from Strong's, is to strengthen, to prevail, to harden, to be strong, become strong, or to be courageous. What is the definition of courage? According to Strong's, it is to be strong, alert, courageous, brave, stout, bold, solid. It seems like both of these words, they mean the same thing, or they have the same sense to them. They're emphasized by using them twice. Make yourself strong and courageous for what is coming next. Steel yourself for what needs doing. To steel yourself is an idiom to make oneself ready for something difficult or unpleasant. To fill oneself with determination and courage. That's from Merriam-Webster. In the case of Joshua, God is telling him to be strong for what is to come. But what if he wasn't a naturally courageous person? Could he just make himself brave and courageous just like that? It's also a good reminder that Joshua was not a young man anymore. When he led the people into the land, he was at least 60 and likely older. But is courage, is strength, are those things a choice? Do we have the option of telling ourselves, "I'm filled with courage"? It is a struggle wondering if it is just that easy. However, if we consider all the times that Joshua was told to be strong or was given encouragement by God, we see that Joshua had time to work on this. Would God command the impossible of Joshua? Now, we don't really know how courageous a person Joshua was, but we do know that he was seriously committed to God. At least we have implications of it. If you'll turn over to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, and we're going to read verse 11. We have this interesting thing stated about Moses, where it says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." That is the relationship Moses had with God, conversational and likely deep. But Moses, he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Joshua wanted to stay in the presence of God. He wanted to be in that close proximity to him. And that's great, because he was a young man. That's the best time to be doing it. We know that in the case of spying out the land, he had courage, as Caleb did, in trusting in God, knowing that God could handle the battles in Canaan. There was certainly trust in God at that point. But do you remember the people's reaction to that good report? All the congregation said, to stone them with stones. That must have been a terrifying situation for anyone. I don't know if that shook his courage. We really don't know how it affected it. But we know that Joshua was really given encouragement for a while. And God knows that he must have needed years to develop it. Years to be told to be strong. When we consider what it is to be strong and courageous, we need to look at the next words in the phrase of Joshua 1:9. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. I think it's easy to identify what it is to be afraid. It's exactly how the people reacted to that report given by the 10 spies sent out into the land. Fear. The people were bigger, scarier, and tougher. But the fear they experienced caused them to make some big mistakes, like resorting to violence, wanting to stone Caleb and Joshua, but also kind of forgetting God's promises, abandoning him. They seemed to have no conception in their mind that God was able to go forth and give them that land. Instead, they thought that God could rid them of the world-ruling empire of Egypt, but not a few nations in Canaan. Or maybe their fear just caused them to even forget about Egypt. By giving into fear, we lose logic, faith, and courage. Knowledge of God is something that should bring strength and courage, because we know what he is capable of, and we've seen what he has done for us. Now, to be dismayed is similar to fear. Once again, it's like the courage and be strong. It's emphasizing these things twice, but to be dismayed, here's some meanings of the word stated in a slightly different way. God is telling Joshua, don't panic. Don't be shattered. Don't be broken. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Now, I certainly resonate with those meanings for the word, for being dismayed. I certainly panic at times. I'm fearful. I mean, these qualities are innately human. We see life in a certain way that often leads us to being frightened by our circumstances and our situations. And in some cases, it actually seems appropriate to be afraid. I mean, how would we know to operate differently? We have that fight or flight or freeze response resulting from extremely terrifying and stressful situations. In some cases, we react before our conscious mind understands what we are doing, before our mind catches up. How does God expect Joshua to just put his fears aside? How does God expect us to fight against our biology? I believe the answer to this question is the next phrase in Joshua 1:9. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How can we cast aside our fears? Remembering that God is with us. How do we grow in strength and courage? God. It sounds simple or too obvious, but that's exactly how we should think about it. Joshua is commanded to lead God's people into that promised land. How enormous a responsibility that is. If anyone would be given a pass to fear or go hide somewhere, it would be him, right? Yet God wants Joshua to trust him. Because would God command the impossible? Or did God provide true encouragement to Joshua? Countless examples throughout 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, knowing exactly what Joshua needed to hear. When we go back through the scriptures we mentioned, where Joshua is encouraged, we see that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will go with you. And we already read Deuteronomy 31:8, which states, "The Lord, he is the one who goes before you, and he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." God was going to go ahead of the people and be with the people at the same time. I mean, someone who understands the spiritual nature of God can easily grasp how that could be. But we're talking about people at a time when false gods were limited in so many ways. Limited to where they were geographically. Limited to what they were capable of doing at one time. Could that view have affected the Israelites? The people and Joshua needed to grasp the important lesson that God was truly always there for them. We'll turn now over to Isaiah 52. We know that God goes before them, and we know that God is with them. In Isaiah 52, we see another aspect of God being with his people. Beginning in verse 10, "The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations." He's holding them back with his arm, essentially. "And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Lord." Verse 11, "Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her and be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." Now, as Oxford Language puts it, rear guard is a military term that refers to soldiers positioned at the rear of a body of troops, especially those protecting an army when it is in retreat. We see an example of God being a rear guard for Israel in Exodus 14. We'll turn over there. Exodus 14, we're going to begin in verse 19. People of Israel are at the Red Sea, trapped between the sea and Egypt. Exodus 14, 19, "And the angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them." He was becoming a rear guard. "And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them." So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Adding it all together, we see that God was everywhere for his people. He is today with his people as well. We have the understanding of what this means to the fullest, because we know God has given us his Spirit. He is with us wherever we go, both as God inhabiting eternity and space and time, but as a comforter within each of us as the Spirit. We learn to trust in God and stand in awe through the power that he has given to us. And when we think about what it means to be strong and of much courage, we should be thinking, this is something I can do because God is with me and in me. How do we cast aside our fears and anxieties? We put to death the old man, the one that wants to give in to our impulses or to make decisions based upon our senses, to react. But God wants us instead to cast aside fear and not be dismayed, for he will always be there wherever we go. Another important part of the equation is where we find that in the sections of scripture that surrounded Joshua chapter 1 and Deuteronomy 31. As I stated before, in Deuteronomy 28, we have the blessings of obedience and the curses for disobedience of God. We can see through this chapter that with faithful obedience to God and what he has commanded, we can have courage through the knowledge of God's promises. Just picking out a few verses that relates to them entering the land. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And verse 9 and 10, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, and walk in his ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Obedience to God's law is the point here. The remainder of Deuteronomy 28 shows that the curses will be the cause, the effect of disobeying. This is when fear and dismay will be a part of your life. There are a whole host of scary and awful things that can happen when God not only separates himself from his people, but when he actively judges and punishes them. Deuteronomy 29, we have the covenant being renewed. In this chapter, God reminds the people that he was with them in the wilderness those 40 years. And he provided for his people. And he wants them to prosper. He reminds them of what will happen if they abandon the covenant and take up idols, just like the nations that they passed through. Once again, we see that cause and effect of God's way of life. Obedience is safety. It's surety. Whereas disobedience is severely punished by God. An individual who walks from God, walks away from this way of life, does not find lasting peace, but rather more doubt, more confusion, and more questions and fear. Deuteronomy 30 shows that even after abandoning the covenant, God will still have mercy on his people if they return to him in repentance. It's another example of his mercy enduring forever. And God is delighted by making his people prosper. As verse 9 says, the Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. But this was if they obeyed. We're going to read verse 10 through verse 20 to just consider all the things that God has promised his people through obedience. Deuteronomy 30, verse 10. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment, which I command you today, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is it too far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life, the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. When Joshua and the people are commanded to be strong and of good courage in Deuteronomy 31, they have had all the context we've gone through and more. This generation of Israelites had witnessed God always being with them in a cloud and pillar of fire. They had their clothes never wear out and food was provided from heaven. They should be able to hear, "Have courage," and remember all that he has said to them, and recognize that God is a merciful, loving God who does not cast his people away. I believe if we want to have courage in our own life and cast out our fears, we need to consider the things he's done for us in our life. We also must check to see if we're obeying him, if we are right with God. Turn now to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Are we doing what God expects of us out of fear and a lack of love? Or do we genuinely try to obey him? Do we need to return to him in repentance? Do we need to examine ourselves and wonder what we're not doing right? We've already mentioned that God was going to be with Joshua wherever he went. God went ahead of the people, he would be with them, and he was going to be their rear guard. God protects from all around us, because he does not inhabit space like we think of it. Even today, he protects us from things that we don't see and know about. To end, let's run through some encouraging scriptures that help us to take heart, to remember that God is with us, and to hopefully be encouraged. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and we're going to read verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In this scripture, we are reminded once again, God is with us. We need not fear. When we remember to put God in the proper perspective as it relates to our issues and fears, we can cast them aside, because God is much greater than those fears, those things that we imagine happening to us. This is restated another way, where God is the reason that we should cast out the fear, because he is our God. We hopefully know this, but it's our duty as Christians to daily in prayer remind ourselves of God's greatness, to praise him for his greatness. But if we remember all that God has already done for us, we can do these things. We can remember that it's God's desire to help. It's also significant that it's God's righteousness that upholds us. Verse 13 and 14 of the same chapter reiterates this. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. God helps us. Those that strive for righteousness but stumble are upheld by God's righteousness. Psalm 23, the well-known, famous, probably most famous psalm. Psalm 23, and we're just going to read verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When we pass through that valley, the difficulties and trials of our life, the storms, we can recognize that God's in the midst of them with us, leading us, protecting us from behind. Turn now to Isaiah 43. Once again, this is just emphasizing God being with us and helping us to cast out fear. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Once again, the flame that will not burn us. God will help us through the trials if we continue to look to him and learn to cast aside fear. John chapter 14, verse 27. When Jesus was experiencing the night that he would be taken captive, and he was going through his most difficult part of his human life with all the sorrow he faced, he still was able to encourage his disciples. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's simple. It's easy to hear, but putting it into practice is something that we are encouraged to do by Christ himself. Finally, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And dropping down to verse 9, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. God is not a God who will abandon his followers, even in times of persecution and extreme stress, and even when our physical lives might end as a result of those persecutions, because we know that that time may be coming. And yet, he's merciful, he's loving, and he's holy, and he's with us. We can see the Israelites struggled with obedience and courage, but we do at times as well. I certainly sometimes fail to see God in the midst of my problems, but he's there. When I'm afraid, I need to learn to go to him first in prayer. That should be my automatic response, not the flight, the freeze. I need to go to him in prayer and discuss it with him, because we can teach ourselves to react more positively, to utilize his spirit, to boldly go before God's throne and seek comfort, protection, and true peace. We must learn to stand firm in the midst of a crooked generation, because the world is going to come after us at some point. We need to have courage through it all. Paul left some wonderful words of encouragement to the Thessalonian brethren that we can hold to, that we can draw encouragement from as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The word establish could also be translated make you strong. So may the Lord comfort your hearts and make you strong in every good word and work.